Welcome to today's Perry Fairway Let's Talk Dallas County program. My name is Joe Sierwinski. On today's program, I'm joined once again by State Representative for District 19, Chris Hagano. This is part two of a two-part interview.
All right, and I know one issue that many municipalities had with the original proposed property tax bill was the ability of the citizens to require a special election for any tax increase of more than 2%, but that didn't end up making it into the final bill, correct?
No, we didn't. There were different versions of that, and that was one of them, in fact. It was a pretty big hurdle that would have to be cleared on that reverse referendum, but in the end, it's not the direction that we went. In the end, I think it's going to be a good tool, and we're always going to be interested in looking at property tax reforms because we heard from a lot of Iowans that were very frustrated at significant increases in their property tax burden, and we'll continue to look at ways to make that easier for Iowans.
Absolutely. Well, a few more things to talk about here, starting with a bill that limits the powers of the state attorney general's office. What can you tell me about what brought this about and what it means?
Well, we saw the attorney general entering into multi-jurisdictional cases in other cases around the country, signing on himself with other attorney generals in politically charged pieces of legislation around the country. And our perspective is that the attorney general is the attorney for the state of Iowa. And like any attorney, you need a client. His client is always the state of Iowa. And so if he is entering into these on himself, there's no client there. And that if the state of Iowa is going to be in a lawsuit, then it should come from the policymakers, be it the governor, the executive council, or the legislature should direct the attorney general to do those things, not him on his own accord. So that's all that legislation did, is prevent him from being a part of these national lawsuits without direction from one of those three entities.
All right. Now, some universally supported bills that ended up getting passed this year include some bills that have to do with children specifically, starting with the school infrastructure bill. What can you tell me about this one?
Yeah, we, for the past several years, have wanted to extend the school infrastructure 1 cent sales tax because that expires here in 10 years. We passed that last year, but the Senate didn't pick it up. This year, the Senate did do it, and so that will continue to provide infrastructure dollars that schools need going forward. Inside of that, there's going to be money for school security initiatives, and I think that there's a lot of Iowans that are interested in seeing our schools become safer. And then also inside of the bill that we passed on that is going to be an increased amount of property tax relief. We're going to use some of those dollars that come from that school infrastructure tax to offset local property tax burden. So in the end, I think it's a terrific package. Get schools what they need, but it's also got fidelity to the property taxpayers that pay the bill. Our schools are pleased to finally get this done.
Absolutely. Well, one last specific bill that I wanted to talk about today is the Children's Mental Health Bill. This was a priority of the governor. It was passed bipartisan support. So what can you tell me about what this bill ended up covering?
Yeah, the Children's Mental Health Bill was the result of a lot of work during the legislative interim. A lot of stakeholders, interested parties came together to talk about what a better framework would be for the delivery of mental health services to children. Obviously, a lot of that is in schools or AEAs, but to build this framework so that when we do put dollars into the system, an increased amount of money, that we can actually identify, diagnose, and get children the services they need. And I think, you know, to kind of wrap it all up, it's one of the encouraging parts of the legislative process where you can really have significant legislation that's going to dramatically impact the lives of Iowans, do it on a bipartisan basis, and get it done. I'm really proud of the effort. I'm thankful for the governor for spearheading this. And I think it's going to have a really big impact, not just right away, but in the years to come. As more and more Iowans become aware of our mental health needs and those needs grow, and at the end, we want to take care of our kids. Often they can grow out of some of the issues or get treatment they need and become much more happy and healthy and productive adults. So it's a great bill and excited to see where we go from here.
Absolutely. Well, a couple more things I wanted to ask you about less specifically. What did you feel like were some things that you hoped to get accomplished this past legislative session that maybe you fell short on?
Well, I don't know that I see anything that I set out me specifically to get done that I didn't. like I said, I think at the outset that, you know, the major policy initiatives that we had in mind, we got done. We were able to balance the budget, provide tax relief, provide education dollars. Those are all wins. One thing that I've always been interested in personally is the school tuition organization tax credit, which provides scholarship money to lower-income Iowa families to go to private school. So I was able to be a part of getting an increase of an extra $2 million into that program. Always would like to do more, but I think it's a great start. So we'll go from 13 to 15 million on that tax credit, and it really has a great benefit to those kids in that system. But that's one where I'd like to continue to keep working on going forward.
All right. And then just looking ahead to the 2020 legislative session, any specific bills that you can think of right now that might be covered during that session?
Oh, I think it's a little too early to know for sure. One of the things that drives our agenda is the conversations that all 150 legislators and the governor have during the interim. We'll have conversations with constituents, and that's where a lot of the ideas come from. We'll have certain interim study committees. I know one that's going to draw some attention is the Tax Expenditure Review Committee, which is going to spend some time looking at all of our tax credits and making sure that we're getting value for those. And I wouldn't be surprised to see some recommendations come out of that of how we can improve the system of offering tax credits and who gets them. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some movement on that next year, but we're doing a lot of listening right now. It's an important part of the process.
Absolutely. Well, Representative Chris Hageno, anything else that you would like to mention to our listeners today?
No, it was a good session. I appreciate the chance to come on and visit with your listeners. And during the interim, like I just got done mentioning, please feel free to reach out to me, shoot me an email or phone call, and happy to listen and see what we can do to help.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and for this entire session. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Joe.
That's been today's Perry Fairway Let's Talk Dallas County program with State Representative Chris Hageno. This has been part two of a two-part interview. Find this program and part one at RaccoonValleyRadio.com. My name is Joe Sierwinski with Raccoon Valley Radio News. Perry Fairway, always fresh, always affordable.